you stand up one more time and let's welcome Pastor Jonathan Moore from San Antonio, Texas.
All right. If you would remain standing for just a second here. Just remain standing for just a moment. Would y'all do me a favor? I know you have incredible leaders in your church, incredible pastors. And I will tell you, I know a bunch of them because I've been doing this ministry thing a long time. And you have two of the very, very, very best. You have two people that love you. Yeah, let's go ahead and honor them. Come on, pastors Daryl and Kristen and that amazing family, Jude and Elle. Elle, who is on the mission field today in the Philippines. And I know that this church not only loves Pastor Daryl and Kristen, but that you love their amazing kids as well. And we go way back with our kiddos too, because we've watched them grow up. I got a lot of funny stories I could tell about Jude, but I won't, Jude. I wouldn't dare tell a lot of those stories. But I do love your pastor, and we love Kristen so very, very much. We love just hanging out, spending time with them, and I'm always honored to be able to be here and to invest in this house because Pastor Daryl has done the same for me. He's come and preached. He's coming back later on this year. And always love having his ministry. And you people, I think you know this, but you're blessed to get to hear one of the best stand in this pulpit and preach every single weekend. He's as good as it gets. And if you don't know that, I'll tell you that as well. I thank you for sharing him with us every now and then. All right, I'm gonna read a passage of scripture, and then we will we'll dive off into talking about what we're gonna talk about today. So, 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, and it is great to have my wife with me today. Alicia and I were able to be here and share with whole crew of married folk on Friday night, and it was a great night. We had a great time, and I'm so honored that she's here on this trip with me. I love my wife. Alicia, would you just kind of wave at everybody? You're going to have to step around, Jude. They can't see you. You're too short. Okay. Yeah. In fact, you're going to step around that whole family over there. We take pictures with them. Alicia has to put on she needs some platform shoes. Okay. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear," everybody say, "I hear," "a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed. Everybody say, "He climbed." He climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed low to the ground, and he prayed with his face between his knees. Then he went to his servant, "Go and look." Everybody say, "Look." "Go and look out toward the sea." The servant went and looked and returned to Elijah and said, "I didn't see anything." Seven times Elijah said, "Go and look." Finally, the seventh time, his servant told him, "I see a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising up from the sea." Then Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab." He didn't play no games. As soon as the man came back, as soon as the servant came back and said, "I see a little cloud," Elijah shouted, "Hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you." And soon the sky was black with clouds. A heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, a terrific rainstorm. So just for a few minutes today, I'm going to talk about the simple subject of drought breaking. Drought breaking. God bless you. We've prayed enough. You can be seated. You can be seated in the house of the Lord. Although I don't think you could pray enough. I guess I should qualify that. I don't think you should ever get to a place where you feel like you've prayed enough, but there's more prayer to come. About a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, I happened to be scrolling through the social medias, and not that I'm proud of it, but I came across a video that I found out later had gone very viral. And it was a clip of, I thought about it this morning or I would have actually shared it with you. It was a clip of a man who had bought a home on a lake. It was a lakefront property, had a boat dock and, you know, all of the equipment and paraphernalia that go along with all the lake fun. And he showed a picture or a video of the dock in front of his home or behind his home when he bought the home. And then he showed a picture of the dock today. And the dock was completely dry. It was sitting down on, it was supposed to be a floating dock, and yet there was nothing to float on. Now, I didn't realize it at the time, but I discovered a couple of weeks later, because I was reading an article in our local newspaper in San Antonio, that particular video, which had gone viral and had millions and millions of views, was actually of a lake right outside of San Antonio called Lake Medina. And Lake Medina has gone, well, I saw this morning it's 5% full. That ain't very full, y'all. So it's 5% full. And if you were to look up some pictures, you would see what I'm talking about. You would see docks, but no water. You would see boats, but no water. You would see water sporting equipment, but no water, due to a multi-year drought in a lot of the United States, but certainly in the Southwest and affecting large portions of Texas. And whenever I saw that, even back, you know, a few weeks ago, I got to thinking about people's lives and people's hearts and how sometimes we go through droughts. Sometimes we go through dry seasons. And I want you to look introspectively today as we get going. And I just want you to ask yourself, is there any area in my life that is being affected by just a spiritual drought? Is there a dry season in any area of my life? Are there some things that just need to get better? Maybe you're experiencing a dry season as it relates to joy, as it relates to relationships. Maybe your marriage, you feel like, is going through a drought. Maybe you just don't have passion to accomplish, like passion that you used to have. There was a season when you were so on fire and so passionate about serving the kingdom of God and serving others, and now you just don't feel like you have that same sense. Maybe you're just going through a drought of contentment and you just feel discontent everywhere you turn. I've started leaning in as I've gotten a little older to the significance of staying hydrated. And I don't have this water up here as an illustration. I drink water when I talk, and so, but it actually makes for a great illustration. But I've over the last few years, you start looking at your skin and just, you know, you headaches and helping myself think clearer. And so I'll get up in the morning and the first thing I'll do is down a large glass of water. And I am very intentional about staying hydrated. And every one of us understand the significance of hydrating our body, because our body will tell us when it's thirsty. Right? I mean, from a dry mouth to headaches to, again, not lack of focus. If you deprive your body of the necessary fluids that it needs, your body will tell you. But here's what I've also discovered. Your soul will also tell you when it's thirsty. A dehydrated heart will send you desperate messages, waves of worry, like a terrible temper that just kind of rises up any given moment as you sit in traffic and all those crazy people are around you. It's amazing how a dehydrated heart will rise to the surface. Maybe it's through feelings of fear or paranoia or guilt or hopelessness or sleeplessness or loneliness or resentment. And a lot of people will believe that this is just kind of, you know, this is just kind of who I am, This is just kind of how I'm going to live. Like, doesn't everyone have gloomy days and sad Saturdays and so on and so forth? And I will say that in many cases, those feelings are inevitable. But I've come to preach to you this morning and tell you that they are not unquenchable. In fact, I want to tell you and I want to submit to you that when you're dealing with all of the things that I mentioned, in many cases, all they are symptoms, if you will, of a thirsty soul. They are warnings of a drought in your spirit. And there is an answer. And I've come to preach about that answer today. In fact, I've come to preach because I believe there are some people that are going to break some droughts in your spirit that you've been dealing with. I think there are some drought breakers in the room. I shared a passage from the Old Testament book of 1 Kings, and in the passage, to give you context for what we read a moment ago, Israel had been in a 3.5-year drought, and that drought had brought famine, and along with that famine, what would accompany it would be a sense of hopelessness. Like, there's no way out of this. What are we going to do? No food to eat. And on top of the famine, on top of the hopelessness, they were led by an evil king named Ahab, with his wife whose name was Jezebel, who in some ways is more famous for being evil than he is. And they were leading the nation of Israel away from God into idolatry. And in the midst of this challenging season with drought and evil leadership, God raises up a drought breaker. God raises up a prophet named Elijah. And Elijah prayed, and God brought the rain, and Elijah was able to escort the nation back into a relationship with God. And listen to me, as we get rolling today, I want you to know that I still believe that God raises up drought breakers in 2023. In fact, I know that He's looking for drought breakers in 2023. Leonard Ravenhill said that while we are praying for the God of Elijah, God is looking for Elijah's of God. God is looking for drought breakers in your school. God is looking for drought breakers in your workplace. Come on, God is looking for drought breakers in your home. He's looking for drought breakers in Covington, Georgia. He's looking for people who will lean in and pray and help bring the rain and help take territory. Throughout the scriptures, throughout the Bible, water and rain was a type of God's Spirit, a type of the Spirit of God. It symbolized life. It symbolized freedom. Water symbolized cleansing and salvation. It symbolized eternal life. A few verses, John chapter 7, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." If you just believe, water will flow. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." So you can be thirsty for a move of God in your life. Your soul can be thirsty. And Jesus said, if you are, they will be filled. John 4 and 14, those who drink the water that I give, Jesus said, will never be thirsty again, because it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. So while rain is symbolic of life, of God's blessing, in most cases when we read the scripture, drought generally symbolized, in many cases, God's judgment. It symbolized the lack of the presence of God. It symbolized needing a move of God in your life, needing a miracle from God. Drought in the scripture symbolizes that we need God's word, we need God's spirit, we need God's freedom. And if you find yourself, listen to me, in the room today, feeling like that you have a drought in some area of your life, you've come to the right place, because His presence is in the room. And all you have to do is tap into that river of life, and you can choose to break the drought in your spirit today. I want to pull three things from the passage that we read. Three things from 1 Kings chapter 18. And the first point is from verse number 41, where the scripture says, then Elijah said to Ahab, go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming. The first thing you need to do if you need to break a drought in your life or break a drought, come on, in your community or break a drought in your home, the first thing we want to do is listen up. Listen up. And I don't mean how you always telling your kids, listen up, or what the coach would say to you in the locker room, come on, listen up, listen up. I don't mean just listen up. I mean listen up. We're not listening down. I don't want to listen to what the enemy has to say. I don't want to listen to the haters and the naysayers and the provocators. I want to listen. I want to listen up. I don't want to listen to culture. No. Whenever I'm looking to break a drought in my life, I don't want to listen to culture that is constantly proving its own confusion because it's constantly contradicting itself, right? Like culture says one thing last week, and then they change their mind, and they say something else. Well, you said this last week, but now they are so confused. I don't want to listen here. I want to listen here. I want to listen here. Listen, there are no superstars in the kingdom of God. Elijah was a man just like you and I. In fact, in the book of James, brother of Jesus, he writes in James chapter 5 that Elijah was a man just like you and I. But then James goes on to say, but he prayed. He prayed. He talked to God. He listened to God. I want you to hear me this morning. The one thing that will separate you from others as you negotiate, navigate your world in 2023, the one thing that's going to separate you is your ability to hear God and to obey God. You're not going to be separated because of your family background or your social status or your gender or your past or your last name or how much money you have. The difference in your life is going to be your willingness, your passion to listen to what God says and then to obey what God says. James also said it doesn't do you any good to hear the word if you don't do the word. God's word is a seed, but in order for it to bring forth fruit in our life, we have to actually plant it. We actually have to do something with it. You're not limited by your yesterdays. You're not limited by your social status. We're limited by whether or not we listen to God. I was in the airport with my son. We were traveling somewhere just a few weeks ago, late January, and we were sitting at the gate. It's one of those gates where there's nowhere to sit, so you're way away from your gate. And they start making announcements about when we're boarding and gate changes and stuff.
So gate change announcement for first,
and that's all we can hear. And we're like, we have to hear what they say. Like, I don't want to miss this flight. Like, I'm all about getting to the airport on time and making sure I get on the plane on time. I'm not about missing flights and having to fix all that kind of stuff. And so we had to get up and we had to walk over here because I was determined to listen because this was an important moment for me. I believe that God is speaking. I know that he already has in the room today. It's important for us to be willing and do whatever we have to do. Tune out whatever we have to tune out in order to listen up. We're sitting there at the gate. There's somebody on the phone right across from us. And I'm like, I can't hear the gate change announcement. Elijah, when he went up to Mount Carmel, I'm jumping ahead a bit, but the scripture says he put his head down between his knees so as to tune out the noise, because he was wanting to hear one voice. There's so much noise in our world, isn't there? Between social media and a 24-hour news media and the break room at the office and so on and so forth. There's so much noise. God is speaking. God is talking, but we got to do whatever we have to do to listen. Listen up. Listen up. I'm not where I am at age a bunch. Well, I'm 50. I'll just be honest with you. I'm not where I am at age 50 because I listen to every voice in my life. And of course, I count not myself to have apprehended. I'm still pressing. But I'm not where I am because I've listened to every voice. Because I've had celebrators and I've just had haters. But I've listened up. Listen, if you want to buy a house, listen up. If you're considering a career change, listen up. If you're considering changing cities, listen up. If you're considering marriage, you better listen up. Of course, you better have been listening up long before this. But when he asks you out, before you ask her out, you should be listening up. God, is this even somebody that I should go out with? Because dating, all dating is that evaluation period between singleness and marriedness. So I should have talked about that Friday night, but I didn't. I'm not going to go. But you got to listen up. Every area of your life, you've got to listen up. Elijah said, I hear the sound. I don't see it. I don't smell any rain. I don't feel any moisture in the air. In fact, there was no natural indication that informed Elijah that it was about to rain. But Elijah was listening up. But believers, ladies, gentlemen, we're just a little bit different. We don't just live by the five senses like those who don't know God do. We have like a sixth sense called faith. And we tap into that. And so there are many times in my life whenever it's not obvious, but I've had a word from God. And so I know. Sometimes, even though there is not a cloud in the sky, I can still hear the rain. We don't walk by sight. The Bible says we are a peculiar people. And admittedly, some are more peculiar than others. Come on, somebody. But we are a peculiar people, right? And we listen, we hear things that others don't. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing. You know what it says, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do I hear from God, Pastor Darrell? Through the word. I show up to church. I hear the word sang in worship services. I listen to the preaching. I hear the word preached. My faith is built. I open this book on Monday morning. I don't leave Jesus here on Sunday. I want to hear him on Monday as well. I want to hear him on Tuesday. And if you don't have this in your life, then you won't have any word in your life. If you don't have any word in your life, you won't have any faith in your life. And if you don't have any faith, then you're not going to see fruit. Right. Issues are that there are people who are looking for fruit, and they've got no faith, and they got no faith because they got no word, and they got no word because they're trying to hear from God all sorts of ways other than this. Other than being in the house of a weekend and listening to the preacher preach. This is why we show up to church. This is why we open our Bible. We want to listen up. If I'm going to break a drought in my life, the first thing I got to do, I got to listen up. The second thing is from 1 Kings 18, verse 42. So Ahab went to eat and drink. He went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel. He bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. The second thing you're going to do if you're going to break a drought is to climb up. I got to listen up, and I got to climb up. Ahab sat. Elisha climbed. Ahab could be found eating. Elijah could be found moving. Where are you going to be? Are you going to be able to break the drought? Where are you going to be a year from now? Ask yourself that question. I will answer it this way. It's determined by the mountains that you are willing to climb. Well, I'm just going to kind of sit and eat and sit on my hands and just kind of let God do his thing. It's not how it works, y'all. I have to participate in order to access the promises that God has given me in this book. Years ago, my boys and I were at a Spurs game. San Antonio, I am a Spurs fan. They're awful now, so I watched them from a distance. But we went to the playoffs like 22 years in a row or so. It's been a good run. But we were watching the Spurs, and during one of the breaks during the quarter, they did this game on the court where they pulled people out of the audience, and they set up these Whataburger, y'all. I heard y'all are getting a Whataburger around here. Pastor Darrell's happy about that. That's a Texas thing, y'all. That's a San Antonio thing. Anyway, they set up these big trash cans that had Whataburger on them, and they had these foam French fries, and they brought two people out there, and they had them throw the French fries into the trash cans, and they would see who could throw the most fries into their trash can in the allotted amount of time. And if they, the winner, got, and they announced it like this, free Whataburger for a year. And my boys were like giddy. Ooh, Whataburger for a year. And I just got a little bit sick at my stomach when they said that. But the boys were fired up about it, you know. And granted, it is. If you're going to do the fast food, that's good stuff. It's good stuff. But anywho, somebody won, and they gave them this little, you know, card or whatever that gave them free Whataburger for a year. But the truth is, it's not like the person who won free Whataburger for a year gets a 18-wheeler backed up into their driveway where they open their garage and, you know, 1 year's worth of hamburgers are dropped off, come on, in their garage. No, no. What they got was a card. And the card in their hand, if they would get into their automobile and they would drive to the local Whataburger, they could pull up to the window and show that card and access the promise that they had been given. They had to participate in order to access the promise. Y'all, there's so many promises in this word for you, about you, to you. And God wants to bless you, but we've got to participate. God is never going to give us anything that we're unwilling to move for. What God wants to give you will require movement, hear me, from you. You're going to have to climb. Somebody say climb. You're going to have to climb up. We sit around waiting on a move of God, and God's sitting around waiting on a move of man. And the moment that you decide that I'm going to move, God, I'm not just going to sit here. He says, all right, now that I see that you're serious about this, then I'm going to step up and do for you what you could never do for yourself. But God won't do for us what we can do for ourselves. And we can open up His Word. We can read His Word. We can move. We can climb. What climb do you need to make today? You've been sensing a drought in your spirit. Maybe you're feeling far from God. Why don't you do what I've called for years is the closest thing you can ever do. The best way for you to get close to God is by serving someone. Why don't you serve someone? Why don't you climb by serving someone? And just see if you don't feel closer to God. Well, what kind of climb do you need to make? Maybe you need to start serving around the church, Covington, or maybe you need to join a small group. Come on, somebody. Maybe you got a relationship that you need to end, that you need to sever. Most of us at any given time have some relationships that are not healthy. They are not propelling us toward our purpose. They are pulling us away from our purpose. Instead of helping the rain of God fall in your life, it's actually bringing drought into your life. Most of us have some relationships that we probably need to sever. Like when we're talking about climbing, maybe you need to forgive. Maybe you're sensing that God's presence is lacking in your life, and at the same time you're harboring anger and bitterness towards someone. You have this idea that as long as I don't forgive them, I'm keeping them in chains. When the opposite is actually true. The one who's in chains when you're not forgiving is you. You're the one keeping yourself from the future that God has for you because you're harboring some things. So maybe you need to climb by forgiving. Maybe you need to climb by giving. All right? Maybe you need to climb by tithing instead of tipping. Maybe you need to like try God's word, like try it His way. Like test God. That's what He said. Test me in this. And in the book of Malachi, see if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out so many blessings. Come on, a picture of rain falling in your life. And I believe that when we tithe physically, like financially, blessings come into our life, not just in the form of finances, but in all sorts of ways. Blessing on your kids, blessing on your marriage, blessing on your career, all sorts of ways whenever you actually obey God's word. and bring the whole tithe. That's all 10% into the local storehouse. Maybe you need to tithe. Maybe you need to step it up with your worship. Maybe you need, but I don't feel like worship. Worship is not about feeling. We don't serve God because we feel like we mentioned this the other night. It's amazing how if we'll be faithful, feelings will follow. If we'll just obey what God tells us to do, feelings come along with it, and things, blessing tends to follow obedience. And maybe you need to step up your worship a little bit. The scripture tells us to bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. A sacrifice of praise. I don't know what a sacrifice looks like for you, and it's going to look different for others. For some of y'all, a sacrifice, it might look a little bit crazy because you're pretty good at worshiping already. But for some of y'all, a sacrifice might literally just look like you're flapping your elbows a little bit instead of just having your hands in your pocket during the worship service. Like, this might be a sacrifice of praise. But the scripture says that God is pleased. If you ever wonder, and this is a little side note, and I'm watching the clock, but this is a little side note, but if you ever wonder why pastor is constantly encouraging you to praise, and we spend the whole first portion of the service, you know, talking about worship and singing and leading you into worship, the reason we do that is because silence is not the sound of victory. Silence is not the sound of victory. And God wants to bring victory in your life, and in many cases he has brought victory in your life. And so there should be a shout of triumph, the scripture says. A shout of triumph. If you'd have been in my house a few weeks ago in the first round of the playoffs, and you saw the Dallas Cowboys, my beloved Cowboys, take down the evil Tampa Bay Buccaneers with that evil quarterback of theirs. If you had been in my house that night when we finally won a stinking playoff game. Now, we lost the next week. That's how the Cowboys are. But we finally won. You wouldn't have heard silence. Alicia, was there silence? No, there was a shout of victory up in the house. Like the dog is running around because she gets fired up when we get fired up. She's got a toy, she's shaking it around, and just because the Cowboys have finally won a playoff game. How much more, come on y'all, should we shout to our Savior and for our King, for our Lord, because of what he's brought me through, what he's brought me out of, what he has delivered me from, the blessings that he has brought into my life. Silence is not the sound of victory. And some of us, as part of our climbing and breaking a drought in your life, you might just need to step up your praise a little bit. He inhabits the praises of his people. Yeah, there's a reason that we clap. It's in the Bible. There's a reason that we lift our voice and sing. It's scriptural. God loves it. With such, God is pleased. Climb up. Listen up. I want to climb up. And then third, and finally, verse 43, when he said to his servant, all right, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked, then returned to Elijah and said, I don't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. There's power in that, guys. There's power in continuing to look for the blessing and the miracle of God. After I listen up, after I hear the word of God, after I know what God's word says about me, I'm a royal priesthood. I'm an overcomer. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. After I know what God's word says about me, and then after I do what I need to do, like I do my part, God, after I climb up, now I just want to look up. I'm going to start looking for blessing. I'm going to start looking for miracle. I'm looking for the rain because I know the rain is coming. Have y'all ever seen people, I promise. I don't sit around staring at social media all the time. I do probably too much. But have y'all ever seen like people playing practical jokes where they just kind of stand out on the street like in the city or whatever? And they're just going, they're just looking up, and people come around. They're like, what is it? And there's nothing up there. It's like nothing but a joke. Thought about doing that today, but it was raining outside, so I didn't want to stand outside and point to the sky as y'all pulled in. But that's, spiritually, that is
what I'm wanting to do today. I want to get you to start looking up. And not because there's nothing there. Because there is something there. I want you to look up. 7 times he told the servant. I know what God said. I heard the abundance of rain. I heard the rainstorm. I know I heard it. Did you see it? No. It's not about, what I can touch and feel. By faith, I got a word from God. I got a word from the Lord. I know there's rain coming. Go look for it. Go look for it. Prophet, there's nothing there. Go look again. Okay, go look again. There's still nothing there. Go look again. Okay. Whew. I hate to even go back to him now. Okay. Prophet, there's still nothing there. Go look again. Okay, fourth time. Again, nothing there. Go look again. Okay, you just want me to stay? You want me to stay there? Stay there? Yeah. Fifth time, go look again. Sixth time, go look again. There's still nothing there. But Elijah kept looking. You know what faith is? Let's just read it from the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, faith is confidence. It's so much confidence in what I am hoping for. So much assurance in what I can't see. I believe it so much that I'm going to continue looking for it against all odds. I'm going to keep looking. You know what faith looks like? It looks like looking. You know what hope looks like? I'm hoping. So I'm going to keep looking. Hope looks like looking. I know that I've heard from God. And so through disappointment, I'm going to keep looking. Even though it didn't happen in 2022 and I thought it was, I'm looking in 2023. Even though it didn't happen in January and February, I'm looking in March. Through tragedy, don't stop looking. I never thought it would end this way. I never thought it would turn out this way. But I'm not going to stop looking. Romans chapter 4 says that Abraham hoped against hope. He hoped in a hopeless situation. Like even after 100 years, he kept hoping. When everything screamed, give up hope, he kept on hoping. The scripture says in Zechariah that we can become a prisoner of hope. I don't want to be a prisoner of anger or a prisoner of bitterness or a prisoner of my past, but I'm fine being a prisoner of hope. He hoped against hope. Kept looking, go look again. This is unreasonable, go look again. This is illogical, go look again. We've been in situations and seasons with our church like this where we're trying to open another location and we can't find a building and we just keep looking. We're in a situation right now trying to open a location this fall. We have no idea where. We're going to open another location in September, but we don't know where. And you say, well, that's illogical. Listen, we've heard the sound of the abundance of rain. And so we're doing what we know to do. We're looking. I know that God is going to open the door. I know that we will find it. The servant comes back. Finally, the seventh time. Prophet. Well, I got some good news, and I've got some bad news. The good news, there is a cloud. The bad news, it's the size of a man's hand. Like that, you know, you said you heard the sound of an abundance of rain. You heard a mighty rainstorm. This ain't that. This ain't that. But I love what Elijah did. Because you know what most of us would have done? We would have fallen back on our face. God, send the rain, send the rain, send the rain. Elijah said, oh, no. That's it. I know it looks small, but that's the answer. Because Elijah knew some things that we need to learn. God has a way of bringing big rain out of tiny clouds. And we need to learn to move on the small thing. We want God to work big, don't we? The things that we're praying for, the things that we are looking for, we want God to work big. We want to just boom, the miracle is there. But sometimes miracles have to mature. Sometimes God sends us miracles in the form of a seed, and it takes some time. Elijah recognized this, and he was willing to move on this small thing. And I just kind of feel like that's God's word to some people in the room today, learning to celebrate the small wins. You're looking for a complete healing in your body, but listen, why don't you celebrate that the scan you got last week was actually a positive scan? You're headed in the right direction. You want to see your child completely healed, completely saved, but why don't you celebrate that your child sent you a text last week and you had a healthy conversation? You want that marriage to heal, but celebrate the small things, that there was a date night, that there was a conversation. Celebrate those small things. God has a way. God has a way of turning those small things into big things. And Elijah moved instantly. I'm guessing the servant thought he was going to, oh, you're probably going to start praying again because it's just a tiny, tiny hand. Tiny cloud. And Elijah said, oh, no, you better go tell Ahab right now because it's about to rain. Like, I'm telling you, he's not going to be able to get off the mountain if he don't get off the mountain now. Elijah knew, oh, it's coming now. It's coming now. And sure enough, the heavens opened up and the drought was broken. The drought was broken. I want somebody to feel that, to sense that in the room today. To sense that in the room today. Would you stand with me all over the building? Stand with me. He wants to break the drought. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are his masterpiece. He created you in Christ Jesus to do good works. Good works. He's got purpose for your life. You need to hear what he says about you. But I just feel like I'm in a drought of purpose. Oh, he has purpose for you. I feel like my best years are behind me. Oh, no, as long as you still have a pulse, you know, you still have a purpose. You're not dead. He's not done. He's still got something for you. Your best years, you feel like you wasted your best years. Oh, no. That's not how God works. I know the plans I have for you to bring you a future and a hope. They are for good, not for evil. God's plans are attached purpose, to good purpose. We're going to pray here in just a moment, and I'm going to invite anyone that feels like you just need the rain from heaven to saturate your spirit. I'm going to have you come. I want to tell you this about the rain of God. Just like water has a way of seeping into cracks and crevices that we can't get to. The rain of God can do the same thing in your life. Like, there's some things that you've tried to fix that you couldn't fix. But if you'll just allow the rain of God to saturate your soul, he can bring healing in areas and places, crevices that you couldn't get to yourself. Things in your soul that you've tried to get out. The second thing about water is when I drink water, I don't have to tell it where to go. I don't have to, before I drink it, say, all right, I need a few drops of you on spleen duty and the other on cardio detail, and the rest of you can just kind of go to my head. It's been a little scratchy today. I don't have to do that. Water knows where to go. You don't have to tell Jesus exactly where to go. He just needs your permission. He just needs you to let him in. Just needs you to let him in. If you're not in a relationship with Jesus, I want to start there first, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, with nobody looking around. If you are not in a relationship with Jesus, he wants to fill you to overflowing. You believe, and there's rivers of living water that flows out of you, healing and hope and purpose. You don't have to get everything in order to surrender your life to Jesus. You just have to surrender and say, I'm yours. Take me, Lord. Take me. If you're in the room today and you're not in a relationship with Jesus, maybe you've never surrendered your life to him, or maybe today you know that you need to resurrender your life to him. Either way, this moment is for you. I want to see who I'm praying for. Nobody's looking around, but I'd love to see your hand. If you'd say, Jonathan, I need a fresh start today. Include me in this prayer of surrender. Will you throw a hand in the air right now? Come on, hold it high. High, high in the air. Thank you, guys. Leave them up. Beautiful. I want to see every hand. Thank you. Yes, yes, yes. All right, you can put your hands down now. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of surrender. I invite everybody to pray this along with me in your own words or in mine. Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you on this amazing weekend, this March weekend, 2023. I'm making a fresh start. I'm following you. I'm inviting you to be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Save me, Lord Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you gave your life for me and that you rose from the grave. And today I repent. Forgive me of my mistakes, my sins. I'm turning to you. I'm making you my Lord and my Savior. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. And everybody said amen, 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 amen. Hey, if you need something from God today, in any area of your life, if you feel like there's been a drought, I want you to come to this front right now. Come on, come on. We're going to sing and pray. Come on right now. Come on right now. Pastor's going to come. Pastor's going to come. But I just want you to feel this altar area. And for the next few moments, we won't take long, but let's just allow the presence of God, the reign of God, to saturate our souls, to saturate our spirits. Lord, we open our hearts to you. We open our minds to you. We're here to receive from you, Lord Jesus. We're here to receive from you, Lord God. We've heard, we're making a move, Lord, and now we're looking for you to do something mighty and miraculous in our lives. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands, lift your hearts. Let him reign in your soul. Let him reign in your life.